Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
What did you eat?
How's the fat coming off?
It's not going well at all. I can't stop eating.
I'm on a special diet.
I'm not fat.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, the number of children who are either overweight or obese has grown dramatically in recent years. And as parents, we need to ask ourselves some pretty tough questions about the way we value health and nutrition in our own home. Well, during the next half hour, I want to talk to you as a parent, as a husband, and as a person who cares deeply about families, why weight-related health issues also have a spiritual component. To help me with this discussion, I'll talk with a Christian medical doctor who understands the obesity problem in our country because he recently lost 270 pounds himself. Dr. Nick is back, and he joins me to talk about raising healthy families next here on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Good to have you along for part two of Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with Dr. Nick Ifantidis, the author of the book My Big Fat Greek Diet, and we're going to talk about raising healthy families. Homeward is here to raise healthy families emotionally, physically, relationally, spiritually, of course, too. And your prayers and faithful financial support make all the difference. We just finished the month of December, where we raised about 20% of our support for the whole year. Thank you so much for your gifts, tax deductible as they were. You can give a gift online at homeward.com, our website secure at homeward.com.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about raising healthy families. Well, with more than 65% of all children overweight, it's up to us as parents to help set the tone for physical fitness in the home, and it's easier than you think, but it does take work, and today we have Dr. Nick with us. He's the author of My Big Fat Greek Diet. He's got quite a story. Nick was 467 pounds. Tell us again your story. I mean, I'm looking at a photo of you at 467 pounds, and today, you know, there you are, this slim MD. So you got to tell us the story one more time.
In a nutshell, Jim, I was a 467-pound medical doctor who was unfortunately in a position of having to practice hypocrisy on a daily basis. The Lord snapped me to my senses by facing my mortality head on when I had the struggle of experiencing testicular cancer. Thankfully, was able to catch that soon enough, underwent surgery, radiation therapy, and survived that, and came to an overwhelming conviction of how ironic it was that here I had dodged the cancer bullet, and yet I was dishonoring myself, my Lord, and my body by literally committing a slow form of suicide. And I am convinced I was eating myself to death as a 467-pound man. Finally came to my senses, came to a point of pulling that ultimate trigger, decided to put it all on the line, took out a mortgage on my house to pay for it all, walked away from my medical practice, walked away from a political career. I was a publicly elected official at the time, did not run for re-election, and I set out for the ultimate adventure. Over the course of 1 year, I visited every state in America. I went to every major league ballpark in America and in Canada because I love this country and I love America's pastime. I combined doing something that I would love with something that was great for my health, took the ultimate pilgrimage, a radical sabbatical, and over the course of 1 year, through aggressive diet, through daily exercise, and through a change of my life and my whole perspective, was able to lose 270 pounds.
That's incredible. That's quite a summary of that story. Now, last time we talked about us and being health stewards. Today, I want to talk about kids. You know, kids today are more likely to be overweight than any other generation. Why is that?
Oh, Jim, it's such a burdensome and such a involved process and something that has just gripped my heart of late. I'm, as of today, a five-day-old father.
Five-day-old? You don't have bags under your eyes. There should be bags.
I just had my first child. My wife and I just had our baby last week, and I want to tell you with newfound enthusiasm that this whole concept of stewardship, which obviously applies to ourselves, I am now lovingly burdened with that sense of responsibility for my child as well. And I want to speak as a parent and as a physician and as a man who has lost all the weight that I have, that it is really a parental responsibility. What I believe is going on is that our kids, unfortunately, are under siege. There is a multitude of factors, from parents who have to work, from children who are left in front of television instead of a babysitter, from sedentary lifestyle through video games and computers, through the fast food generation that we're a part of and the family dining hour becoming a drive-through experience, from kids being assaulted, in my mind, with a multitude of messaging from companies that are making and planting seeds of associations of certain junk food that is very unhealthy to them. There is just a combination of multitude of factors. The dilemma is our children are gaining weight at a pace that is going to have deleterious consequences in the future. And as parents who love our kids, we need to love on our kids deliberately. And ultimately, I believe it's a parental responsibility. And just as we're going to talk about with regard to the hypocrisy that I had as a physician practicing medicine as a 467-pounder, the real issue to me from a parental perspective is one of modeling.
Sure. The
same thing applies. Parents cannot be in a position of telling their kids, do as I say, not as I do. Parents have to be in a position of preaching the gospel of good health without opening their mouths by setting the right
example. Exactly, because children see and children do, and that's the important issue. And so we've got to face the fact, and that's the way it is in so many ways. Dr. Nick, as a physician, you've seen a number of kids facing a variety of different ailments, problems that children maybe a generation ago didn't even worry about. What's the percentage of those illnesses that are weight-related?
You know, it's actually not as much as you might think, but it's quickly growing. It's quickly becoming a dilemma in the sense that children are experiencing diabetes at a young age. Children are experiencing pulmonary ailments at a young age. There are conditions like asthma, for example, that if a child is diagnosed with asthma and they're carrying around extra weight, their asthma is going to be made much worse. The other very interesting thing, not long ago, one of my colleagues at UCSD recently did a research study comparing the experience of children who were obese with the experience of children who were experiencing chemotherapy who had cancer. And children who were obese had as much emotional trauma and stress and poor self-images as kids who were under cancer therapy. And so there is a dimension to this physiologically in terms of physical condition. Unfortunately, because of the ruthless media-driven environment that many of our kids, especially our adolescents, are in, there is an emotional component that is a consideration to this as well, that is a part of the defined, you know, health condition.
You know, as I look at my own life, I tend to be an emotional eater. If I'm under stress, boy, I'll put something in that typically I'm pretty disciplined. As soon as I'm under emotional stress, boy, I just will take whatever, you know, anybody offers and, you know, take chocolate, great, whatever. And it seems like kids do the same kind of thing. Talk about emotional eating for either adults or children.
Emotional eating is a cornerstone trap. It was certainly probably one of the bigger components that I had experienced in my past. And I really think what emotional eating ultimately is that we have feelings of either uneasiness or anxiety. And it's almost like a baby, you know, who wants a binky. Maybe that binky now becomes a package of Oreo cookies or a bar of chocolate or whatever. There is that self-nurturing attempt where we try to appease those negative feelings by stuffing our face with something that we enjoy. Ironically, in the long run, after that short-lived little moment of euphoria are going to come feelings of guilt, regret, irony, and perhaps the next time you get up on the scale, some additional weight that is going to make it a, you know, negative boomerang that's going to come back to bite you. But all of us, including children, are susceptible to eating for the wrong reasons, and that's not the right way to deal with those things.
Right. Great, great insight. Fascinating that we, as families, we talk about proactive ways of helping our kids get a college education, about savings and retirement and all these other issues, but sometimes parents don't think about raising healthy families and what we need to do proactively to help them become that kind of a child who's going to be a steward of their health.
I am convinced that we are, as an American society, a pack of fat rats running around collecting piles of cheese that many of us are not going to ever have the opportunity to eat, in the sense that we are compromising our physical health in order to make an investment into our financial health. Those things have to be hand in hand. What's the point of making an investment into your future financial well-being if some of us aren't ever going to even reach the retirement age because of the physical condition that we find ourselves
in? Dr. Nick, great insight. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back. Again, with more than 65% of all children overweight, it is up to us as parents to help set the tone for physical fitness in the home. And it's easier than you might think, but it does take work, and that's what we're talking about today.
Being a health steward, raising healthy families. Our theme today here on the Homeward Broadcast with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Broadcasting, as always, from the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. Relevant Christian degree since 1899, and now even a new online program. Can you imagine getting a bachelor's degree, going all 4 years of school exclusively online? How the cost would be so much lower? Go to apu.edu and you can figure out more of that. Or just go to our website. If you're not there already, we have a little icon there for Azusa Pacific University. Another resource you want to learn about is, we're talking about stewardship with your health. How about stewardship with your stewardship, with your money? Homeward has partnered with a group called the Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company who are supporters of our ministry, and they've helped us to create these new tip sheets that you can use to teach your kids valuable lessons about money, about saving, about spending, and tithing and giving. For more information on how to get these tip sheets, go to homeward.com, keyword steadfast. Let me spell that out for you. Homeward.com, keyword steadfast.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about raising healthy families. Very, very, very important subject with really an expert, Dr. Nick. My Big Fat Greek Diet is his book. It's not only about his story of how he lost a lot of weight as a 467-pound physician, but it's a way of looking at life, and that's why I'm excited about it. We don't do a whole lot of programs like this, but because we're talking about spiritual fitness and physical fitness and just the whole, even mental fitness, this is about attitude as well as anything else, and it's a very important subject. We're talking about kids today and how do we help our kids be good stewards of their own weight and their own health in many ways. How much exercise should a child get per day, per week?
Well, you know, it's going to be dependent on a multitude of factors, Jim, because it's going to be dependent on age and so forth. But I would say this, and this is where I can get very practical in making some suggestions to parents. I think it would be a wonderful opportunity if 3 to 4 times a week, a family, could get out and do something together that was physically exertional for at least 30 to 40 minutes. That could even include a toddler. Yeah. Instead of sitting around, why don't you drive down the street, or better yet, walk down the street, or find a place where you can kick a soccer ball around, or fly a kite, or take a, if you want to go shopping, go to the mall. Leave the kid even out of the carriage, the baby stroller. Make them walk. I mean, in my mind, exercise and that whole perspective, that family fun time, right, is physical time. That's the programming, yeah, that needs to happen. Kids per se should not be, you know, doing weightlifting. They should not be perhaps obviously going to a gym, though I do think that we are going to be moving in the direction. And one of the visions that I have is to be a part of facilitating family-friendly exercise environments that are welcoming to the entire family, that are welcoming to children, that have maybe even machinery and equipment that's customized for kids. But the very simple strategy, make family fun time something exertional. Don't make it sitting around watching a television. Go out to the mall. Go out and play soccer. Go do whatever you can think of, whatever you find enjoyable. Learn how to hike. Get a dog. Get a dog for the family. Have your children get into the routine of walking their dog. Whatever it takes, I just feel like parents need to make that adjustment of thinking as family fun time is either going to a movie or sitting around watching television or doing something sedentary. We need to start thinking as family fun time being physical time.
Boy, that's really helpful. You know, you talked earlier about fast food, and I think a lot of families say, well, fun time is going to be going through Del Taco and getting, you know, extra sized burritos and supersized, you know, soft drinks and whatnot. Talk about fast food. In your book, you talk about fast food and some of the problems with it. I know that was a problem for you.
Oh, absolutely. It was a problem for me. My vehicle has always been a mobile restaurant. There was a lot of eating that was going downtown in my car, and I have really come to a realization of how that behavior really subtly contributed to my dilemma. You know, this whole fast food thing is a real dilemma, because what does fast food offer? It offers convenience. You know, it's affordable. It's not very expensive. Two very crucial considerations in our society and to most of our parents. One of the things that I think we need to also consider from a practical perspective is making healthy food convenient. My wife, who thankfully has been very successful in maintaining her weight, grew up in a home where her father, at a very early age, came to this realization, and I credit him for this, where he always made fruit readily, conveniently available. There was always a plate of sliced apples, peeled oranges, fruit that was sitting there ready for them to grab. The child, my wife, and other families who I know who do this do not have to experience the inconvenience, if that's what you want to call it, of even peeling or cutting or slicing or dicing a piece of fruit. Make it presentable, make it available. In our mind, I think if we can make that transition of making healthier foods more convenient, more accessible, parents will go a long way in terms of reprogramming some of their kids' habits.
That's a great way of looking at it. When you think about fast food, in your book you talk a little bit about moderation. So I don't hear you saying never go through the drive-thru.
Absolutely not, Jim. And I am, again, a believer. One of my fundamental messages is why we eat and how we eat is probably more important than what we eat. And I still have fast food. But instead of three burgers, maybe I have one burger and a salad, or maybe I'll leave a half of the bread off of my hamburger or whatever it is. There are so many strategies that I get into in the book. And in my mind, we are not going to escape the fast food influence of our culture and our society. But you know what? It's fascinating. Just like the alcohol and tobacco companies in many ways have borne the brunt of major lawsuits, there are actually people who have brought lawsuits up against fast food companies. And for as ludicrous as that may sound, movies like The Fast Food Nation and other things that are coming out now, trust me, the McDonald's, the Burger King's, the Wendy's of the world are paying attention. And there are now reasonably healthy alternatives, even on those menus that I would classify as being healthy. And I have what we call the fast food survival guide in our book.
I went right to it.
Where it gives strategies that are very practical, very realistic, so that convenience and that affordability factor don't have to be compromised.
What point should a parent be concerned about a child's weight?
In my mind, a child who is, well, and it gets a little bit difficult because there are different ways of defining weight, but a child basically who is more than 15 to 20 pounds over their baseline ideal body weight, and again, and I'm not just saying this to make business for doctors, but this is something that parents are not always going to be very objective about, right. So it's a decision that needs to be made in partnership with their pediatricians. But a child that, for example, is limited or restricted in the activities it can perform, if your child is in clothing that's designed for a six-year-old and your child is only 2 to 3, that should be a red warning flag. Parents love their kids. They're not always going to be objective in partnership with a physician. Seeing that your child is bigger and perhaps slower and more bulky than other kids, there is a multitude of warning flags. It's not easy to classify. It should be in partnership with a pediatrician.
Now, I'm looking at your book, My Big Fat Greek Diet, and there's really a spiritual component to it. What's the spiritual message that you hope comes across for people who read your book?
Well, the spiritual message for individuals as well as parents is coming to the realization that our health is a God-given gift. God loves us. God loves us enough to have given us bodies of incredible wonder, incredible design. We have the responsibility by loving God in return, by honoring God in return, by worshiping God in return with how we handle and how we manage those gifts. As parents, not only do we have the responsibility for our own bodies, but we have the responsibility of stewardship of the lives and the bodies of our loved ones and our children. And in my mind, to me, the motivation that I am seeking is to be a God-honoring servant of Christ by caring, by nurturing, by loving the gift that he has given me, and in so doing, being able to be a good steward, to be an honoring servant of the Lord by caring for him and honoring the gift that he has shared with me.
Great wisdom and insight. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says that we are to honor God with our body, and that's exactly Amen. What we're talking about today. Nick, time has gone by so fast. Thank you so much for your words of wisdom. Thank you for a great book. Thank you for standing up there and being a role model for us. I deeply appreciate you and am absolutely inspired by all that you're doing.
The pleasure is my own. To God be the glory. Thank you, brother.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with the popular author and amazing speaker, Dr. Nick Ifantidis. Nick, a guest on the Homeward broadcast talking about raising healthy families. And if you just joined and caught the tail end of the conversation, this is a man who tipped the scales, actually tipped two scales because it took that many scales to weigh him and get an accurate count. 467 pounds at one point. This was a medical doctor who smoked cigarettes, chain smoker, who weighed 467. Made some changes and wrote about it in his book, My Big Fat Greek Diet. And that's why, Jim, we've been privileged to carry the past couple of programs here on Homeward, this story, talking about this, because it's so important for us as parents to help our kids, to set a good example for them, but then also to realize that the culture we're in right now, kids are dealing with this issue more and more, and it's something we parents need to pay attention to.
65% of all kids are overweight. 30% of those kids are actually obese, and it's up to us as parents to set the tone at home for making our families healthier.
Well, Dr. Nick is a great example of a man who knew what needed to be done to improve his health, but then he realized that, it sounds so basic, but nothing's going to happen unless I change the way I'm living, my lifestyle.
Well, change is an understatement, Roger. I mean, this is a guy who used to weigh, 467 pounds,
yeah,
and now he's
yeah.
under 200, and he has a beautiful wife and a daughter, and his faith in the Lord is a lot stronger also.
Jim, in our Resource Center, there's a brand new tip sheet that I know you want to talk with our listening congregation about. It's called Raising Physically, Spiritually, and Emotionally Healthy Families. What is that all about?
Well, Roger, it's based on a couple of issues that are very important to me. And the first is that it's up to us as parents to take responsibility for the course of our family's overall health. That includes three components. We learned it today: physical, emotional, and spiritual. They're interconnected. The other reason for putting this piece together is that I believe Dr. Nick's seven pillars of weight loss success can serve as good life principles for all three areas of health. For example, eat for the right reasons. You know, too many people use comfort food. I'm one of the people who do that. We get under stress and we put in the M&Ms, we put in the chocolate, we put in the, you know, the fat producing food, and we kind of don't know how to cope with stress properly. So sometimes we cope with stress with eating the wrong foods. Not just that it is a food issue, but it's also an emotional issue as well as a spiritual issue. You know, the other aspect of this is you've got to ask the question, how much excess baggage are you carrying around in your heart that you don't act upon? Maybe an unhealthy relationship you're in that doesn't get any better because you never take the first step in trying to make it better. Take action and see the results. So you take it in calories by just exercising. You also have to get some of that excess baggage off, even emotionally. Well, these pillars of Dr. Nick's really speak to all three areas of life and growth. That's why we've created this new tip sheet called Raising Physically, Spiritually, and Emotionally Healthy Families.
And it's easy to get a copy of that tip sheet. When you go to homeward.com, you'll find the articles and media section there, and you'll just pop on that icon and hit Healthy Families, or Pillars for Health in Your Family. Any of those keywords will suffice. And the reason I suggest the keyword search first and foremost is because we have several hundred tip sheets. If you want to go scrolling through, I mean, they're very, very interesting to look at, but if you want to get right down to the source, we do have a lot of articles and tip sheets in the articles and media section. Also, some audio clips, some video clips, too, if you've never had a chance to hear or see Dr. Jim Burns speaking to a group of people. Check out the video clips in the articles and media section of our online resource center today at homeward.com. And thanks for remembering that Homeward is completely listener-supported. We appreciate our affiliation with the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University, but the task of fundraising for Homeward is all on us. So we appreciate your prayers and financial support. If you can give a gift in support of the ministry today, we would love to hear from you. Write to us at Homeward Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693.
The fact that you're listening to Homeward today tells me that you take your family's emotional, relational, physical, and spiritual health very seriously. I think that's great. I want to encourage you to keep up the good work and keep using Homeward as a resource for making positive changes in those relationships that matter most. The ones involving your spouse, your kids, and God. Thanks for remembering that your prayers and your ongoing financial support enable us to keep coming your way each day, both on the air and online. If you missed any portion of today's program, go to homeward.com and sign up for a free subscription to our daily podcast. That way, each program will be downloaded directly into your computer or on your MP3 player, so you can listen whenever it's convenient for you. Now, until next time, I'm Jim Burns. I appreciate you listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.